So we're continuing our New Testament principles series, and last week we covered eldership, and now this week we're going to be covering breaking of bread. So, okay, I think we're ready. All right, so we're doing this new topic of breaking bread or the Lord's Supper. And like last week, I wanted you guys to really focus on quite a few things. But the big things were, what brings God the most glory? And how does the Spirit work through this, right? How does the Spirit work through elders, men that are selected to be elders? How does the Lord work in each of their individual gifts and bringing unity and cohesiveness to the eldership, or what God has laid out for us in the New Testament as principles for leadership. Today we're talking about breaking the bread. And I want us to think about this in a way that really focuses our hearts and our minds on why we put so much focus on this, meaning the assemblies in general. You know, we want to, and I'll talk more about this, but we think this is as the church meeting or the chief meeting versus multiple church meetings, if that makes sense. So I want to explain that a little bit and the reasons for that. So, brother, can you turn it down a little bit? It's feedback a little bit. So Luke chapter 22 is where I would like to start. So Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 20. And let's read this. If you don't mind standing one more time, we'll read this together, and then we'll open up again in a word of prayer. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pause one more time, Lord, to praise you and thank you for the great salvation we have in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, for your precious living word, Lord, the word through the Spirit that gives us understanding and instruction. And Lord, that we may follow your precious words and honor you and glorify you in it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you give us understanding and the Spirit's leading in this message. We thank you in your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You could sit. So something I want you to think about is, let me tell you a quick story, okay? We had the chance to go to the Grand Canyon this past year, and we had an awesome time there. But I did something a little weird, okay? We had to rent a car, okay? So I had a chance through Costco program. I know Caleb would be happy. Through the Costco program to rent a vehicle. So I rented a vehicle, but through Costco you could actually upgrade, and it's the same price as a standard. So I upgraded, and I got a premium car. And I was all psyched about it because I enjoy different kind of cars. Duncan knows I enjoy cars. I enjoy those kind of things. So we got into this premium car at the airport, and I couldn't turn it on. And then once I found the, because I'm used to a regular key. I know some of you guys are fancy and you don't put a key into your car. But I have a key. I have to put a key into my car. And so I found the button, and I pressed the button, and it turned on. And it was just like a video game, like the console and everything. Like, and you know that like Star Trek kind of sound comes on? And it just came on, and I was like, ooh, ah. And Ruba was sitting next to me like, you're weird. She had no clue why I was enjoying all of this. So after I got the car on, I had to lift the tailgate. I couldn't lift the tailgate. I couldn't find the button to lift the tailgate. It's not like a button like on the back. You had to find the actual button. Okay, eventually I found the button. I'm ready to put it into reverse. I couldn't find the button to put it into reverse. It wasn't a shifter or anything. It was an actual button. That's how fancy this car was. I say all that to tell you that I appreciated when I got home and I took my key out and I got into my car. I appreciated what I had and the regularity, I guess, or the comfort I had of my car, okay? The new or the fancier isn't always fun because you can't figure it out. Like, I couldn't figure it out. But I say all that because when we're talking about the breaking of the bread, especially in the younger minds and younger generations, sometimes they lose sight of what it means to do this often and to remember the Lord often as much as we can. And I think it's because we lose the sense of the meaning and the why behind it and why the Lord gave it to us. And so I want to talk about this a little bit and go into some of the meaning behind it. And the way I'm going to do it is, how did the Lord give it to us? Well, he gave it to us as a command. Do this in remembrance of me. But also in the first century church in Acts, we see the practice of that command. But also in the command, in 1 Corinthians, and we'll look at that, there's a warning, right? There's actual a warning of in this command and something we don't think about and talk about enough, okay? So that those are some of the things I want us to think about. Breaking of the bread is very simple. Do this in remembrance of me. Taking part in, as you saw this afternoon, taking part in the body and taking part in the cup as a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to say this before we get into the mix of it. There are two main ordinances. Let's see if I'm going. Yeah, I'm going a little fast here. There are two main ordinances, meaning things that we follow as God has given to us. But also, these ordinances in the Catholic denomination, they call these sacraments or a part of sacraments. And so you may have heard that word as sacraments, or as we look at them, as ordinances, things to obey that God has given to us, okay? And I want you guys to really think about this. The Catholic Church thinks of these as sacraments, which is a religious activity of some sort that bestows grace, all right? That grants grace if you take part of it. Whereas evangelicals, as we read the Bible and we study the Bible, God has given us ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, as a means to exemplify God's teaching, obey God's teaching, and as a way to display the gospel message. Let me read this. To help avoid communicating the idea that their religious activities are channels of grace, which are sacraments, most evangelicals prefer to call them ordinances. They see the ordinances as a symbolic reenactment of the gospel message. Rather than being requirements for salvation, ordinances are visual aids to help us better understand and appreciate what Jesus Christ accomplished for us in his redemptive work, and they are testimonies that we indeed believe in Christ. Ordinances are determined by three factors. This is part of the definition. They were instituted by Christ, they were taught by the apostles, and they were practiced by the early church. So I want us to really be mindful of these things that are in other denominations or other religions. And you really have to dig deep because they probably won't, some of those leaders and priests or whatever you want to call them, they may not understand what a true sacrament is versus an ordinance. I hope you realize the importance there. As we take part in the Lord's Supper, and we'll look into the why and everything, They are not channels of grace, right? It's an activity of remembrance, imitating Christ, following Christ's command to do this and to practice this as a church, okay? All right. With that said, I want to keep us moving because I know I used up a lot of time. Transubstantiation, just really briefly, I want you guys to think about. Raise your hand if you heard of this terminology, transubstantiation. Okay, so this is a thinking, and I was going to read a portion, but because of time, I won't. But I have my church history book in my bag. This came up, I forgot what century. It was, I know Joey might know, Carlineage period, is that right? Okay, some period of church history in the Carlinian period where these monks actually thought about the breaking of bread, and they started to write deep theology of some sort, and not according to scriptures, but where they believed that the bread and the cup actually turns into the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And thankfully, it only, it was renounced after a time, but many different religions still follow these kind of thinkings, okay? And we don't, of course, follow this because, well, I'm going to show you, do this in remembrance of me. There's no more need to sacrifice Christ over and over and over again and to drink of his blood when he has done it once and for all, right? So I want us to think about these things and to, you could really go on about this topic a long time. But so I started in Luke chapter 22, verse 7 through 20, to find meaning in Jesus' words. Think about this. We read 14 through 20. I want to read the first half of this, beginning in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread. And my Sunday school class, I want you guys to think about that we studied Exodus 12, right? And so we were studying the Passover. We were studying the day of unleavened bread. So I want you guys to make the connection here. In Luke chapter 22, he says, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it. They said to him, where will you have us prepare it? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Okay, I'm underlining a few things here for you to take note as we talk about the practice of breaking of bread. There's a preparation there. There's a pointing to the Old Testament of this idea of the Passover lamb, right? The idea of the unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. I want us to think about some of these things and tie them into what we do in the New Testament principles. First, the day of unleavened bread. The Bible tells us that the Israelites were to eat only unleavened bread every year during Passover as a commemoration of the Exodus from Egyptian bondage. Since the children of Israel left Egypt hastily, they did not have time for the bread to rise, so it was made on that very first Passover without leaven, also known as yeast. In describing this bread and why it was eaten, the Bible informs us of the following. Do not eat it with bread made with yeast. For 7 days, eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. And think about that as you tie that to Christ. Bread of affliction. Because you left Egypt in haste, so that all the days of your life you may remember the time of your departure from Egypt. In the Bible, leaven is almost always symbolic of sin. Now, thinking about the Passover and Passover lamb, it was kept in remembrance of the Lord's passing over the houses of the Israelites, right? Passing over, but what did it require? Sunday school class? What did it require to pass over? The blood of the lamb, right? What kind of lamb? Firstborn male, good. Year old kid. Okay. Connor? Did he miss anything? Unblemished. Unblemished, okay? I want you guys to think about these things and the tie to the breaking of the bread. When the passing over the houses of the Israelites, when the firstborn of all the Egyptians were destroyed, it is called also the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because during its celebration, no leavened bread was to be eaten or even kept in the household. So think about this. Jesus points to this, right? He says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And when he took bread and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. This is awesome when you tie the Old Testament and the meanings of what God was teaching the Israelites and pointing to Christ. How I said this last week, how beautiful Scripture is, how simple Scripture is when you tie these things together, pointing to from unleavened bread to the bread of affliction, to the unblemished lamb, to the Lamb of God. Oh, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. And then he says, I earnestly desire to eat this Passover. Then he says, do this. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, sometimes I pause on Sundays, Saturday nights if I can, and I try to get my kids to get in the gear of preparation. The beauty of Scripture is God calls the church to do something, right? It's a command and pointing to a command of obedience, but us to realize like God was telling the children of Israelites, I'm instituting this Passover. I'm changing the calendar. You guys remember that? He's changing their calendar, saying, this is of utter importance because I'm pointing to your salvation. I'm pointing to what you need to believe in. And then we have what he calls us to in the New Testament. The beauty of Scripture is, do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant. New covenant. In my blood. So why? Why do we do this? Why do some churches only do this once a month or quarterly, or it's one among other meetings? You understand what I'm saying? Versus why do we, meaning the brethren or the assemblies or what we follow as New Testament assembly principles, New Testament principles. I don't want to call them assembly principles. It's New Testament principles. Why do we call the breaking of the bread the meeting or the chief meeting versus church meetings? Okay? That's how I want you guys to kind of think. So I want us to think about this. See, I read all this already. Okay. So we're going to go into this kind of breakdown of the command, the practice, and the warning. So the first one I'm going to look at is the command, okay? So we read Luke chapter 22. Now, you guys know this as a very familiar portion of Scripture. So I want us to read it with this kind of mentality that we've just gone over. First Corinthians 11. Verse 17, but in the following instructions, I do not commend you, but because when you come together, it is not better, not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions. Is this the right portion? Make sure I got the right portion. The slides are always the last thing I do, so it's kind of getting it done quickly. Yes. All right. Okay. Good. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. Verse 20. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat or drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. Key point. Paul saying, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we see here the command from Luke to 1 Corinthians, Paul reinstating or what we understand as the command. We obey this. And I want you guys to think about this. You know, we have these two clear ordinances in the Bible. One is Matthew 28, the great, you know, commission. We are called, go ye therefore, teach and baptize, right? Here we have the Lord's Supper. These are two clear ordinances or commands that we follow in obedience to what God has given us. Now, I want you guys to think about this. In these commands, there's a simplicity here. A simplicity of obedience, a simplicity of obeying God's command. You know, I don't know why today in Christendom, church becomes a full-on concert event. It's a full-on entertainment venue, right? You know, in a way, if you think about it, just look around, okay? How is this room set up? Right? Think about it. How's the room set up? It is set up for us to come and to receive, right? Right? Is there not a stage? Is there not performers? So I think this is what gets us to think deeply about our faith. When God calls us to obey something, he calls us to react in faith to a command, right? You know, we have those that have taken part in baptism, right? Why do they do that? They're taking part, they're adhering to God's command, and they're following in faith and saying, yes, I want to baptize because I want to publicly proclaim and announce to the body of Christ and announce to this world, I have made this decision and I am called out for God's purposes, right? In the Lord's Supper, what do? We are following God's command, and in simplicity of obedience, we, in essence, we meet around the table to take part, right? And to do this in remembrance of God. So there's a simplicity in God's commands, in God's ordinances. Simplicity of obedience and fellowship of the church around the table. I want us to think about this, because what do we have today? What do we have today? We have technology. We could, you know, I know there's people online that for sickness or for some reason they can't be here, so we give them the convenience of being here online, which is fine. The elders have talked about it, deacons have talked about it and said we want to continue this. But there's a reason why we should come together to remember the Lord and give thanks together as the body of Christ. Okay? So I want us to think a little bit more deeply. And we're going to get into Acts here a little bit. You see the practice in Acts of following this command and how it's done. Okay? So let's go into this real quick. Oh, so I mentioned this already. The meeting versus church meetings. Okay? the command here to do this in remembrance of me, right? Think about that, okay? We're not commanded to have youth group, you know? We're not commanded to pray together, though we do it, right? But we are commanded to come and to do this in remembrance of me. Okay. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. And this is really key, okay? So I want us to think deeply about this. And I know it's familiar portions, but I want to parse it out a little bit. So I'm starting with verse 41 here, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, okay? So they received God's word, the gospel message, and were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Breaking of bread and the Lord's Supper is used interchangeably in the New Testament. To the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So there's a few things I want us to understand here. So we have the command. Oh, let me also point these two out. Acts chapter 2, 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says, on the first day of the week. Okay? So we have here, day by day, as often as you meet, on the first day of the week, what's happening here? Okay? What's the practice that we need to understand? So now we have the practice. So we go move from the command to the practice. So practice is instituted by God as we looked at Luke chapter 22, okay? So I want us to make a point here is, why do we do what we do? How do I take this command of God, and how do I honor him? How do I bring glory to him? How do I magnify him in my faith journey when I know that this is a command? Well, I'm going to obey it, right? I'm going to obey it. And, you know, this obedience here, and I want to make this point to my children as well, is I do certain things not because how I feel. It's not about my emotions. It's not about, you know, I stayed out late Saturday night or Friday night, or I worked all day or whatever it was, and I'm too tired to go to church. I don't know if I'm being too extreme here. Did Christ not bear it all on the cross? Did he not do it all for you and I? And so my effort in obeying God's command is I go to obey God. And in obedience to God, I want to glorify him in my life, and I'm going to take part in this remembrance feast. That's how important it is to me. My father impressed this upon us a lot, okay? And my father worked Monday through Friday, 12 hours with sitting in traffic, and also half days on Saturday. Okay? And he's the hardest working man I've ever seen on this earth. Okay? We lived about 45 minutes away. I know some travel here far, okay? And I respect that. We lived 45 minutes away from our Indian assembly. My father made it a point, though his hands were bruised from working under our car, he had cuts and bruises, whatever it may be, he says, we're going to get up early, and we're going to get in the car, and we're going to go. We're going to sit in New York traffic. until we get to the church where the body of Christ meets to take part in this remembrance feast. Why? I always say, us kids, it was three boys growing up, we were like, oh, we do this every Sunday, and we sleep in the car, we're tired when we come home. All these excuses. My father made one point. This is a command of God. And it brings him honor. We honor him and we glorify him when we follow what he tells us to do. Does that make sense? I just want to make sure we understand this. This is not, to me, you know, even when we go on vacations, I try. I respect Angus always also. He always trying to find the local gathering, and he travels a lot. Why? Why make the effort to find a local gathering? God is glorified when we obey his word. We obey his word. We had an awesome time when we went down to Charleston. And Skip Elliott's small little gathering. And we had the best time. And we surprised them saying, hey, we're coming out to break bread with you all. He goes, what? He couldn't believe it. I was like, of course. We find the local gathering. It brings glory to God. I want us to think about that. Preparation. This idea of preparation is in Luke when he says, prepare for the feast. Prepare for the feast. Think about preparing our hearts and minds when we come. There's also this idea of 1 Corinthians 11:28. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Think about that. Let a person examine himself and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Well, that examination doesn't just say, oh, okay, I made it to the meeting, okay. Lord, let me think of all of the sins I had this week. No, I don't think that's what the Lord is saying. I think the preparation comes before we come to church, right? Whatever it may be, I examine my heart and my life throughout the week if I can, but definitely beforehand. This preparation, right? Just like there was a huge preparation for the Passover, right? The Passover feast. They had to get the lamb, right? That lamb had to live in their household. They had to clean their house of the unleavened, right? There was preparation for this act of following God's command. In the same heart, in the same mindset, I take this in and I say, how do I prepare for the Lord's Supper? How do I get my heart and my mind right? And I'm not just talking about men here, right? Ladies also. How do we prepare our hearts and minds? And I know this is a huge challenge, especially with you when you have young kids and you have so many responsibilities at home. You know, I try to do this, and we don't do it the best. But before we leave, I try to read. We didn't do it today. But we tried to read, I forgot his name, but it's that little worship and remembrance book. It has little devotions in it. I can't remember the author of it. You know what I'm saying? It has the cup and the bread on the front. Anyway, we'll get it to you. It's an awesome book to have in your libraries. But we tried to read a little paragraph and then pray before we step out of the door. It's the idea of preparation and examination of our hearts. I'm going to speed up a little here. Substance and meaning of thankfulness. You know, examining our hearts of where we've fallen short, asking the Lord for forgiveness for things that we've fallen short on. If we have held anything against another person, if you had a fight with your wife or a fight with your husband, if you had something wrong that you said to one of your children, this is the time of examination. This is the time for asking of forgiveness here, because we're coming before the Lord with our hearts bared before him and to give him worship. There's the idea here of we come with thankfulness in our hearts. The Lord gave thanks and he broke bread. They went from day to day, household to household, giving thanks for their salvation. And they broke bread and took part of the cup. Do we do that? Do we have this mindset of coming before the Lord, praising God in our hearts as we step through these doors? I'll just say this about frequency. It says, for as often as you remember, you proclaim the Lord's death, right? For as often as you remember. Acts chapter 20 said the first day of the week, right? In the Middle East, Joel's not here, but in the Middle East, they have off what, Friday or Saturday? They have Fridays off, right? So that the believers there meet on Friday. Is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. It's the practice by which you can gather as often as you can to break bread. Can you do it in your home? Of course you could do it in your home. Can you do it when you have guests? Of course. But have that mindset of preparation. Hey, we're coming before the Lord's table. Have you examined yourself? Are you ready to give thanks? Are you ready to, with glad hearts, to give thanks unto the Lord? Let's get into the last part here. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Verse 33. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. So here you have the warning. This is the last part, and we'll get into our concluding thoughts here. This goes back into the practice of it, right? The practice of why we meet, and then there's a warning to this command. What is he saying? There's examination. There's preparation. I know some people come here, and I'll pause here and say, since this is a command to do this in remembrance of me, we also use this as a way of discipline, right? For those that go wrong in their life and they're not willing to listen to counsel, the elders use the table as a way of discipline to say, no, you cannot take part because you are not listening and following the Lord's commands. So apart from that, there's also this idea and warning of examination and preparation as we come before the Lord. Do we think about that? Do we ponder these things? I do believe that God does bring judgment when we don't come in the right heart in the right manner. Say you haven't asked for forgiveness from a loved one that you've wronged. Say you've committed a sin and you haven't brought it before the Lord and asking for forgiveness. Should you take part? I would say no, because we have this warning, right? There's a deep warning here that we should be very careful. What does it say again? I'm sorry. For anyone who, whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body of the blood. What does it say in verse 29? For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. That's a deep warning. I know we don't talk about this enough, but I think about it. I think about it, and I confess, I get a little even fearful of, Lord, I may have not spent enough time with you, and I didn't resolve this argument with Ruba. I'm sorry, Lord. I need to go before Ruba and ask her for forgiveness. This is serious, because this is a command of God, and I think that's how we should take it. Even 1 Corinthians chapter 10, real quick. verse 14 through 22. I don't think I have this here, but 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14 through 22. There's a thought here also of idolatry. When you take part in idolatry, you should be very careful, because this is a hindrance to your faith also. And so there's an idea here. Let me read this, verse 19. What I am saying then, that an idol is anything, and what is offered to idols is anything. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to gods. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? I just want to mention that and not get into too much of the details there. But here's another thought of examination, right? And preparation. What idols have we followed in this world? And then we come to the Lord and take part. And it has no meaning to us. There's a thought here of examination of our faith walk in the Lord. I'm going to close here. This is a believer's gathering. This is a group. The Lord's table is a believer's gathering. Does that mean unbelievers cannot come? No. They won't have any sense of the meaning of it, but they could hear the gospel. They could totally hear the gospel. What better way to understand and hear the gospel than in the Lord's Supper, right? So I think, but the participation in the Lord's table, of course, is for believers. So let me just close with these concluding thoughts. It's an ordinance. It's a command. The Lord instituted a time of remembrance. And we should take it as something so special in our faith journeys, in our faith walk, that we get to be invited guests to this feast. And we get to be a part of it. An act of obedience brings glory to God, and we honor him in following it. If anything you don't hear today, I want you to think about this, is what is your preparation for worship? How do you prepare your hearts and your minds for worship? How do you get your children to understand the meaning and the seriousness of it? It takes some discussion, right? Husbands, wives, to talk about the remembrance. Why do we do it where some churches occasionally do it? Well, we hold this as the chief meeting. We hold this as honoring the Lord in our walk. Of course, examination, preparation, ask for forgiveness before those that you have talked anything against or had a problem with before taking part, asking the Lord for forgiveness. The church is called to remember together. And when I say the church is, I don't know if we've ever discussed this. I don't know if you could, if you're in a bind, you could do it by yourself. But I think the practice of Scripture is, where two or more are gathered, you can come and remember the Lord. Whether it's at home with guests, invited guests, or whether it's here, coming to here to the body of Christ to remember. I think there's a calling there. And I'm big on this last one here, okay? I know there could be many concluding thoughts, but I want you guys to think about this. It's not a meeting of memorial, meaning, I know that's wrong phraseology. Yes, it is a memorial. Yes, it is. We're doing it in remembrance. But it's not a funeral mentality. That's what I'm getting at, okay? It's not a funeral mentality. It's a praise, thankfulness meeting. With glad, generous hearts, we come to give unto the Lord, to praise his name, to thank him, to give glory to him of all that he means to us. Does that make sense? So our hearts should be full of joy. We would, When I think about singing, we should sing with our hearts. If you can't carry a tune, the Lord doesn't care. The Lord doesn't care. Sing your hearts out and praise and worship. Men, you have an awesome and special role in audibly standing up and sharing thoughts about Christ and giving him praise and giving him thanks and what he's meant to you that week. That's awesome. I know awesome's not the right word, but I just keep saying it. But you know what I mean. It's special. When we come here, we should have glad hearts, smiling hearts. No matter the kids screaming in the car or anything, you get them, hey, it's time to praise the Lord. It's time to worship. It's time to think about the Lord and give unto him. Give unto him. I hope that makes sense. And if I've said anything wrong, please come and tell me and we could have a great discussion together and grow in faith together and glorify our God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to sit with fellow brothers and sisters and to chew on your word, to have the ability with the Spirit's leading and direction to understand your word and to, Lord, grow in faith and to grow in our walk together, to honor every piece, every corner of the Bible, Lord, every corner of your word, and to fully obey it in every way we can, Lord. Lord, I don't want to hold back. I don't want to hold back in how I follow you. I want to know and I want to follow after you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for giving us this remembrance, this act of obedience to remember and to remind ourselves how amazing you are, Lord, and that how that you poured out abundantly your grace and your mercy through your Son, your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and in this small little fashion of coming together and breaking bread and taking part of the cup, Lord, I want to do this more, as often as possible, to give you the glory and to give you all of my worship. Lord, I pray that you would impress these things on our hearts, Lord, and that we would be challenged. I thank you, Lord, in your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.